This evening's reading is taken from Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 to 22. Jew and Gentile reconciled through Christ. Therefore, remember that formerly you, who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, which is done in the body by human hands, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promised, without hope and without God in the world. But now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations. His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two, thus making peace, and in one body to reconcile both of them to God through the cross, by which he put to death their hostility. He came and preached peace to you who were far away and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit.
Second reading is from Ephesians chapter 4, verses 1 to 16. As a prisoner for the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you've received. Be completely humble and gentle. Be patient, bearing with one another in love. Make every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, and Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But to each one of us, grace has been given as Christ apportioned it. This is why it says, when he ascended on high, he took many captives and gave gifts to his people. What does he ascended mean, except that he also descended to the lower earthly regions? He who descended is the very one who ascended higher than all the heavens in order to fill the whole universe. So Christ himself gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers to equip his people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and in the knowledge of the Son of God and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves, and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is, Christ. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you. Thank you, Lord.
Jonathan and Wing, many thanks indeed. There is an outline for this evening's talk, which should be on a seat near you. If you haven't got an outline and you would like one, please raise a hand, and maybe Simon in the welcome area will bring some round to any who need them. But there's quite a lot out there on the seats, I think. Let's pray as we begin. Our gracious God, we ask you that as we spend time this evening thinking about your word, that you would speak to each one of us. Please show us the wonder of belonging to Jesus Christ and the wonder of belonging to his people. Pray that you would teach us and also change our hearts and our lives in ways which are pleasing to you. Amen. How would you feel if you belonged to the England football team? If you were part of the squad, which is kicking off at 8 o'clock this evening in the Euros against Serbia, I think it is. You might say, I would feel surprised because I haven't played football for many years. But remember, the team isn't just the players. There's the wider team, the people who arrange the transport, the people who arrange the accommodation. How would you feel if you were part of that wider England team starting the Euros this evening? I hope you'd feel a bit daunted, but also excited and privileged about what the team could achieve together. Similar question. How would you feel if you were part of the National Symphony Orchestra? Could be the first violinist or the one at the back with the triangle who just has to ding it twice during the evening in the right places. Again, I hope you would feel enormously privileged to be part of that orchestra and the concerts that they have coming up over the summer. And then how do you feel about being part of God's church, the family of Jesus Christ? Well, today we are beginning a series of 5 sermons entitled Body Beautiful. And over these talks, we're going to see that Jesus lived and died not just to save isolated individuals, but to redeem for himself a people, a new people, a new family, a new body. And we're going to see that if we trust in Jesus, we are part of that body. Now, there are many reasons why we might not feel excited about being part of God's church. One possible reason is disappointment. Perhaps church just hasn't lived up to what we would have expected and hoped. Another reason is unpopularity. You know, we're told that fewer and fewer people belong to a church. Often the church stands for a message which is unpopular and it's hard to go against the flow. Another reason why we might not be excited to be part of God's church is weariness. Perhaps we've been serving at church and caring for people for decades. We just feel tired out. Another possible reason is legalism. Maybe we come to church out of duty, not as a response to what Christ has done for us. Well, my prayer is that by the end of this series, we will feel privileged and excited to belong to God's church. And I've called the series Body Beautiful because I want us to see the beauty of God's purpose for his church. And I want us to see as well how we can live out that beauty in our part of God's people here at St. Mary's, so that together we are a body beautiful. So the series goes on. We're going to see why we gather and what God wants us to do when we come together. We're going to see how we can welcome people, not just into our services, but into our church family. We're going to think about how we love one another, about how we witness together, sharing Christ with a lost world. But today, I want us to see what the church is, what it is that we belong to if we trust in Jesus Christ. Now, there's an enormous amount we could say, so we're limiting our study this evening to just one book of the Bible, the book of Ephesians. And we're not even going to look at the whole of those 2 readings we heard, but we're going to see what does the book of Ephesians teach us about what church is, about what we belong to if we're trusting in Jesus. Well, the first thing we see is that the church is the body of Christ. We look at Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. You can follow on the outline or in the Bible as you prefer. And God placed all things under his, Christ's feet, and appointed him to be head over everything for the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills everything in every way. These words tell us that God has made the risen Jesus head over everything, ruler over the whole universe. And it tells us at the end of verse 22 that Jesus uses his power for the church, for the good of his people, because his people are his body. Now, this may be a familiar truth, but it is amazing. It speaks of the union between Jesus and his people. Jesus' people are united to him, just like the parts of our body are united to our head. And Jesus' people are united to each other, just like the parts of our body are united to each other, because we all belong to him, our head. And the Bible speaks of church on two levels. There's the universal church, made up of all God's people, all around the world and all down time. And then there's the local church, believers in Jesus gathered in one place at one time. And the Bible describes both the universal church and the local church as the body of Christ. So the global church is the body of Christ, and each local church is also the body of Christ. Well, Paul returns to this image of the body in Ephesians chapter 4, and we're going to look at verses 15 and 16. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. You know, this scripture is telling us that as we speak God's truth to one another in love, we together grow to become the mature body of Christ, the body that Jesus, our head, wants us to be. We see here at the start of verse 16 that this growth comes from Jesus, our head, and it happens as each part of the body does its work. Now, we know that our human bodies depend on our heads. So I'm told that we have, on average, 100 billion neurons in our heads. It varies. Some have less, some have more. And each neuron sends between 5 and 20 messages every second. So the reason that our bodies work, the reason that our bodies keep going, is that our heads are constantly sending these instructions to the rest of the body. It's the same with the church. We have a head. It's not the Archbishop of Canterbury. It's not me. It's Jesus Christ, our head. And his instructions, his words to us in the Bible, are what keep us going and keep us alive as his body. We know that the parts of our body are intimately connected to one another. Just think of the heart, for example, how it's connected to the rest of the body with the muscles and the veins and the nerves and the arteries and the ligaments and the capillaries. I think we've got a picture, the way the heart is so connected into the rest of the body. And well, without the lungs, the heart's no good. Without the heart, the lungs are no good. And it's the same with the church. We're so different to each other. But if we trust in Jesus, we're intimately connected as parts of the same body. And we depend on one another. Now, we live in a world where people are increasingly isolated and lonely. We live in a world where the differences between people lead to division and conflict. And we live in a world which is crying out for connection and cooperation. And if we trust in Jesus, then thanks to him, we are part of his body, the body of Christ. United with Jesus, our head, united with each other, all different and all needed. It is a beautiful thing to be part of the body of Christ. And so we want to show this beauty in our church here at St. Mary's. And we're going to have a whole talk later in the series about how we do this. But for now, it means two things. It means that we must listen to and obey our head, Jesus Christ. We need to listen to his instructions as we read the Bible and trust and obey what we read in his word. It's what keeps us going as a body, obeying our head. And it means also that we need to love and serve one another. We're all different, but we are intimately connected as members of one body, each with a part to play. And it's actually as we use our different gifts and our different skills, as we put those skills and gifts into practice here at church, all of us, that our body is healthy. It's also as we love and support one another that each of us is enabled to keep going and keep growing in Christ. It's the first thing we see in Ephesians. The church is the body of Christ. If we trust in Jesus, we belong to that body as members of it. Second great thing we see in Ephesians about the church is that the church is the temple of God. Let's look at this here in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 to 22. Consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole body is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. And in him, you two are being built together to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. Paul reminds his readers that once they were foreigners and strangers to the people of God, but now they are members of God's household, members of God's family. And God's people are likened to a building with a foundation. And our foundation is the apostles and prophets. The apostles and prophets are the people who wrote the Bible. So the foundation of the church, which gives us our strength and stability, is the truth of Scripture on which we stand. And our cornerstone is Jesus Christ, who we meet in the Scriptures. He gives the church our strength and our shape. And we are not just any old building. Together we are a temple in which God dwells or lives by his Spirit. Now, in Old Testament times, God's temple was in Jerusalem. And here we have an artist's impression of that temple. It was a splendid and glorious building, beautifully decorated, covered with gold and with other precious materials. And most glorious of all, it was the place where God dwelt, where God had set his presence. So people could come to the temple, and as they prayed and as they offered their sacrifices, they met with the living God. Now that the temple in Jerusalem was destroyed in AD 70, never to be built again. And now it is God's people who are his temple. It's marvelously true that God's Spirit dwells in each believer individually. But here in Ephesians, we're seeing a greater truth, which is that God dwells in us collectively. Together, we are the temple of God. So that as the church gathers, we meet with God. That's why Jesus says in Matthew chapter 18, where two or three gather in my name, there I am with them. It's not the building which is the temple anymore. It's the gathering of God's people. Whether we gather in the splendor of St. Paul's Cathedral down in London, or whether we gather in the church garden like we did for a while during COVID, when God's people come together, he is present. As we read the Bible and hear it faithfully preached, we hear God address us. As we sing with sincere hearts, we are singing our praises to God. We see and experience his signs in the sacraments of baptism and communion. And we experience God's love in the love of his people. Again, we live in a world where people do not know God, where people are separated from relationship with God because of sin. A world where more than anything else, people need to meet with God. And yet they don't know where to turn, looking in all sorts of wrong places. But if we trust in Jesus Christ, then thanks be to him, together we are the temple of God. When we gather, we meet with the living God. And that is a beautiful thing. And again, we want to live out the beauty of this in our church. And it means at least three things for us. It means that together we must stand on the foundation of the Bible, with Jesus as our chief cornerstone. It's why it's so important that we check everything we hear and everything we believe against God's word. If you mess with your foundation, if you take part of it away or add part to it, the building collapses. If we stop being centered on Jesus Christ, again, the building collapses. Not only that, we should have a sense of awe and wonder as we meet. See, when we gather as believers in Jesus, we meet with the living God. Where else would we want to be? We should come eager and expectant that God will be at work amongst us. And then third, we must be accessible and outward looking so that people who don't know God at the moment can come and join us and meet with him amongst us. 1 Corinthians chapter 14 envisages non-believers visiting the gathering of God's people and hearing the teaching and seeing the love of the community, the family, and exclaiming, God is really among you. In a week or so, I'm going to be putting out a questionnaire for the whole church, asking everybody to send in ideas about how we can make our gatherings more accessible so that people can come and meet God amongst us. When we trust in Jesus, this is what we belong to: the body of Christ and the temple of the living God. And then third of all, and last of all in the book of Ephesians, the church is the bride of Christ. Let's read Ephesians 5, 25 to 27. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her, to make her holy, cleansing her by the washing with water through the word, and to present her to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So in the Bible, when Paul teaches husbands about how they must love their wives, the model he goes to is Jesus Christ and how he loves his bride, the church. And we see here that Jesus loved the church so much that he gave himself up for her. He went to the cross to die to save her. And we see in verse 26 that Jesus did it to make her holy. Holy means set apart. Set apart from the sin of this world to belong to Jesus as his special people. When we trust in Christ, he forgives us our sins and he makes us holy. We don't always live up to that holiness, but we have the position of being set apart from this world to belong to Jesus. And verse 27, when Christ returns, he will present the church to himself as a radiant church, without stain or wrinkle or any other blemish, but holy and blameless. So now, for now, the church is often stained with sin. But when Christ comes, the church will at last be like him, radiant and spotless. And the church will live with him as his perfect bride. Again, it's wonderfully true that Jesus loves each one of us individually. And then there's a deeper truth here in Ephesians, that Jesus loves his church. And he came into the world and he died and he rose again to save a people, to be his bride and to be loved by him forever. And if we trust in Christ, we are part of that bride. Wonder if you heard anything or saw any of the photos last week from the wedding of the Duke of Westminster. Did you see that? He married his bride, Olivia Henson. And the Duke of Westminster is one of the richest people in the country. And he went to wonderful lengths to show his love for his bride last Friday or the Friday before last. So he arranged for the aisle of Chester Cathedral to be lined with maple trees. He paid for 100,000 flowers to be brought to Chester city centre, so that not just the church, but in fact the entire city centre would be decorated with flowers. And he even arranged for free ice creams to be available in three cafes for anyone who was visiting the city that day. You know, he left his credit card behind the counter. Now, I think that's wonderful. And what a display of his love for his bride. But I have to say that that is literally nothing compared to how Jesus, the King of the universe, has showed his love for his bride, the church. He gave not 100,000 flowers, but himself on the cross. And not to make us a duchess, but to make us holy. Now again, it's a beautiful thing. We live in a world which is desperate for love and is crying out for faithful love, love that lasts. And if we trust in Jesus, we have that, for we are part of his bride, together loved more deeply and eternally than we can begin to imagine. And we want to live out that beauty in our church. That means, for one thing, that we should love the church that Jesus loves, locally and globally. So we should care about the health and beauty of the local church here at St. Mary's, because we know that Jesus does. Jesus loves the local church as his bride, so we too must be passionate about the church flourishing for him. And of course, it's easy to be very parochial and forget about the worldwide church. But Jesus loves the global church as his bride, and so should we. It's why we want to have real partnership with our mission partners and to be praying for the church around the world. And it means as well that together we must work to be holy. See that, don't we, in Ephesians 5? Jesus' desire for his bride is that we're set apart from the sin of the world to be his special people. So much false teaching tells us that we need to be like the world in order to be relevant. That is absolute tosh, isn't it? We need to be like our husband in order to be relevant. Our calling as a church is not to fit in with this world, but to work together to be holy in our attitude to money, holy in how we love each other, holy in sex and relationships, holy in how we value human life, working together to be holy in every way. Because the church is the bride of Christ. So friends, this is what the church is. It's not a building, not an institution. The church is the body of Christ, the temple of God, and the bride of Christ. And the way to belong to her is to put our faith and trust in Jesus Christ. There are many people in the world who feel that they don't belong to anything. But if you trust in Jesus, you belong here. You belong to his church. And we should feel excited about this. You know, it would be exciting to be part of the England football team, whether playing or supporting role. It would be exciting to be part of that National Symphony Orchestra, whether it's at the front or at the back, whatever. How much more privileged and awestruck we should feel to belong to the Church of God. We live in a world where so many are isolated and lonely. But if we trust in Jesus, we're part of his body, united to him and each other. So let's listen to and obey our head and love and serve one another. We live in a world where people need to meet with the living God. If we trust in Jesus, together we are his temple. When we gather, God is amongst us. So let's make sure that we're on the right foundation of the Bible. Let's have that expectancy and awe when we gather. And let's make sure it's as easy as possible for people to come in and meet with God amongst us. And of course, we live in a world that is desperate for faithful love. And if we trust in Jesus, we're part of his bride, loved eternally. So let's love the church that he loves, locally and globally, and work together to be holy, because we are his bride. God's purpose for his church is beautiful. Let's work together to live out that beauty in our fellowship here. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that if we trust in you, we belong to you and to your body, your temple and your bride. And Lord, it's so easy for us not to feel that sort of awestruck excitement about that, but instead to feel disappointed or worn out, or that it's just so hard going against the flow of the world around us. And so we want to pray, Lord, that over these sermons, the next month, you would show us the beauty of your purpose for church and show us together how this part of your church, this part of the family here at St. Mary's, can reflect that beauty. And we ask this for Jesus' name's sake. Amen. Amen.